October 10, 2020, it's the Lot for Pedro show. Saturday. Let's see, we started off with John Coltrane doing Moment's Notice. And then a song from the new album. You know, Brother Matt, he was stuck in the desert. His car kaput and being repaired. But we're in quick quarantino mode anyway. But I'm not totally man alone, because through the magic of those Estonian software engineers and their Skype invention, I got the Are You Cops with me from, not Stonehurst, but Sun Valley.
Woohoo! All right.
Now, I was there at this very pad, people, maybe a month ago, to take some pictures.
Yeah, that was really cool of you. Thanks for doing that. You like it out here? What other reasons have you ever come out here for?
Well, of course, to share a stage at Sunspace 3 times with Are You a Cop?
Oh, that's fun times, yes.
Which is a short ride for you guys, and you guys got to share a stage here in Pedro, actually a deck at Harold's place. But the other reason why I've been in your parts is because Tony from the Dills, Tony 19, lived not too far away. And in fact, I saw him right before he passed, and he wrote on my bass.
Oh.
Yeah, I love you, Mike, 19. He said, Mike, you don't mind if I'm too romantic? I said, don't worry, Tony. He was such my hero. So those are my reasons. I've been in your parts because of you guys and because of Tony from the Dills. But you know, we've got to tell people, I don't know how many of you are native, because I know you, Jonathan, is Memphis, but we're the whole SoCal thing's 150. I mean, we're not one town. We're a lot of different fucking towns, and we're spread out big time. You fly over, it looks like one. Anyway, this was the song, the eponymous song. It's actually named after the band. Are You a Cop? In the big change, Are You a Cop 2020, right? Because this is the first time we're going to get into the history of the band, but this is the first time the band has actually put a question mark at the end of their name.
Ah, you noticed that. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Now, who wants to go first? Because I want to go through you guys' briefly journey through music to see how you ended up here.
Well, as being the guy who always likes to jump into the pool first, hi, it's Jonathan. I'll go first.
Jonathan, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, that would be in my parents' Lincoln in downtown Memphis, listening to the Beatles' Rubber Soul. My mom was a big Beatles, Rolling Stones person, so at like about 3 years old, four, I already know all the Rubber Soul.
Question, it's in a car, so is it cassette or is it 8-track?
Oh, it's an 8-track, and yeah. Man, 8-tracks are fun. Yeah.
Okay. Now, at the pad, were your parents listeners, players, or both?
Listeners. My mom and dad lived with Alex Chilton from Big Star. And when I was born, and so they were really fans and kind of helped out with the Box Tops and Big Star and Alex before he really got with Tab Falco and all of that stuff on court right behind the Antenna Club off Madison. And so
by the Piggly
all
Wiggly.
That is really happening.
Right by the Piggly Wiggly.
Exactly. And back in the early days, it was Fred Montese.
Ah, okay.
You guys played... Like when I was there to see the Minutemen, where I'm too young to get in, but it was the Fred Montese parking lot I'm skateboarding out front in.
That's right. It wasn't. You can hear the bong hit. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
That's right. It was not Piggly Wiggly yet.
Right.
But the chain hadn't come down. People, that's a big chain in the South. Well, I think they're on their way out, but for a time there, yeah. they were. If Alex Chilton was there, there must have been a guitar in the pad.
Oh, you better believe it. Well, there's an out-of-tune piano and a whole bunch of instruments because my dad, being friends with John Fry at Ardent, and my dad did the Ardent logo and stuff, so he got all these extra leftover just musical instruments that he wanted to draw and do stuff with, and so I just started kind of trying to learn how to play them even though they're not tuned properly or anything.
Okay, so you were jumping on, and somebody's making a bunch of fucking noise and want to slap a bald spot in the back of their head, so please.
Hit Ash. That's Ash.
The spot from Pedro's show is not that long. Just give us a little bit, okay? Because when people are listening back to this, they're going to be going, motherfuckers. It's like the guys with the beer bottle. You don't hear it tinking until you hear the show.
We're hands okay. up for now.
Okay, so... What was the first record you bought yourself with your own money, Jonathan?
Ooh, my first record. That's a great question. I think it was the Kinks with the Village Presbyterian Society is the first record I ever bought with my own money.
And what's the first gig you went and saw?
Scream at the Antenna Club is my first show.
Was no Dave Grohl yet?
No, I don't think it was Dave. Yeah, it was right before. Still Screaming's out and the new Yellow record.
It was those brothers. They made a band called Wool later, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
All of the above. At Grace St. Luke's, I'm in the school choir in the tenor section. Then I go to Snowden and I'm playing bass in the junior high school band.
A marching band? No.
It was a marching band. It was more of an orchestral band, even though we did one march.
Okay. And you ain't playing stand-up. You're playing actually electric bass like you are now.
Exactly. A P bass, yep.
Okay. Interesting. I want to play here James Worthy.
Woohoo!
I got him to sign one of my bass.
I know. I love that.
Started angry as he Confidential. Time and strain and trouble ain't got nothing on me. I am stronger with my steps these days. I am working on how to be. And you always showed me the good in everything. You never forced your will upon me, and you taught me how to better see. But there's a loudness there outside our door, and it feels time to shut it out and crawl back into this American night. I will run my hands along your back, run my hands along your back.
Talk about that to my life. gowns and aprons.
Take down my heart.
We'll be right back.
Watch for Pedro show. It was her James Worthy. Are You a Cop? Prove It from television when they had Dick Hell in the band, 1974. Some of those demos they made for Brian Eno. Shopping Music Appalachian from Thor Harris and Rob Halverson. Will Johnson with Incline. Wag Platy. Kano Tobira. A Guided by Voices. Cool Jewels and Aprons. Two Backs. Fungar Part 2. I never got Part 1, I don't think. But they're from Italy. The Emperor's Ice Cream from Brighton, England with Travel Time. Wild Rats. That's me and Thirsty Steve Shelley getting to play with Ron Ashton for a movie soundtrack. Velvet Goldmine, 1997. Be My Unclean and Mark Arm singing. Great cat. And finally, Future X. This is Reading Into the Future with Are You a Cop? Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Drummer? Earliest musical memory.
My earliest memory?
Musical memory.
Yeah, let's see. I was in Georgia, kind of a redneck town, so we didn't have much access to anything. I remember when we first got FM radio and 96 rock, when I started to hear some rock and roll. So it was the 70s, pretty much like Zeppelin, and from Zeppelin, AC/DC to Skinner, more of the rock grounds.
So in the pad where you grew up, there was no instruments?
There was a piano, and my dad had a saxophone that my sister ended up learning pretty good. And I got attracted to drums. I just liked the way they looked, so I wanted a drum kit, and they bought me an acoustic guitar. So I'd sit there and take the strings off and play the back of the acoustic guitar, and they finally got, I guess, decided to get me a little cheapo kit from Sears and Roebuck. And that was the start of that.
Where'd you practice?
Laundry room.
Okay.
Which is really a back porch.
And, sure, like pantry trip.
Yeah, and then they remodeled the house. And when I got the upstairs, they put in an attic of this old house. And I got into, it was kind of the standard thing. You didn't have a lot of options. So I did marching band, orchestral band, and all that kind of stuff. And really, you didn't have anybody to jam with on as far as playing like more of a rock or playing with the kit so much. But did a lot of practicing and a lot of different kinds of percussion.
Did you, in the marching band, what was it, snare or field drum? Or?
Snare, okay. Yeah. I did pretty well in that. And
yeah, but because I noticed you used match grip, but did you do traditional?
Yeah, okay. Did both. We actually started with traditional.
Yeah, of course, because you're slinging the drum on the side there, right?
Yeah. And that was kind of how I was definitely taught for a while. I did have some outside lessons and stuff, and I actually studied with one of the guys from the Atlanta Orchestra, and I'd drive up to Atlanta, which was quite a long, you know, about an hour drive, even when I was a teenager, and still, you know, do it during the school week and stuff. So I was pretty dedicated to a lot of practice back then.
And was he a good teacher?
Yeah, he was. He's kind of an interesting guy. He
what was his name?
One thing. Oh God, I can't even remember.
I just wanted to give him credit. Okay.
I would too. I don't even know if he's alive anymore.
Man. Probably not.
But he, one thing he impressed me with was his metronome timing. And back then we didn't have the digital, you know, it was the wind up metronome.
Sure.
But he could sit there and look at his watch. He had a watch with a second hand on it. And he would get like 60 beats a minute, 120, you know, divided up. He'd start playing a rhythm, maybe just a paradiddle or something, and he'd shut it and he wouldn't look at his watch. And he'd play for a minute and he'd come back and the guy could be like right on it without even looking at it or hearing it. He had a built in clock.
Yeah, kind of natural.
Blew my mind, you know. I was like, damn, that's pretty tricky.
What was the first record you bought yourself?
I don't remember. It might have been
Remember the Watt for Pedro show? There's no hard questions, there's no wrong answers.
I think it might have been Yes, Close to the Edge.
Okay. And what was the first gig you saw?
Leonard Skinnerd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you do the thing, I didn't ask Jonathan, but did you do the thing like after school where you get a garage band, a basement band, bedroom band?
You know,
Not during high school. I mean, I had one, I had a cousin in North Carolina, so he'd come and visit on the summertime.
Yeah.
And that's where I even had a kit. So I had like a snare drum, a hi-hat, and I actually played like coffee cans and cardboard box, and he had a little, silver tone amp or some shit, and we'd do like Chuck Berry and stuff, and then, but he, that'd only be once in the summer. I had a friend that played guitar pretty well in high school. And we would jam a little bit, but we didn't have a bass player. So I really didn't get much experience until I moved out to Atlanta. And then I did, you know, got into quite a few bands out there.
What was your first gig?
My first gig? Actually, it was really wild. I was with this band called The Push. And one of our songs got on 96 Rock on this Home Cooked Game album. And we actually played the Omni Arena after a basketball game or something. They set up a stage, which was like, you know, and it's a 15,000 seater, and there's maybe like 1,000 people in there after the game.
But that was your first fucking gig?
That was our first gig.
Wow.
We actually got to play there. Our third gig was the Fox Theater.
Oh, and, I know that pad. I know that pad. It's got fucking lights in the roof. So
yeah.
It looked like stars.
Yeah. So we got to do some really cool gigs. And back then there was a club called the Agora Ballroom. It was cool. It used to be the Electric Ball. Yeah, it was really.
Actually, there was Agoras all over the country. I played one in Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, you know, and our band did well. We got to open up to quite a bit of, when national acts would tour, we'd get to be sometimes the opening act and stuff. We got to open for King Crimson on the Discipline tour, which was interesting because they didn't want any other bands, and we were already hired, and they said, no, we want comedians and shit. We don't want no other damn band. And but they let us set up. They wouldn't move any gear. They didn't strike, but I set up the drums on the side of the stage, which was kind of interesting, and looking towards Side Saddle. And we were, I think, one of the only ones on that tour that got to open up for them, so
yeah,
it was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was a weird period. It was kind of the Adrian Belew sang like the Talking Head guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, look, we should get to Ash. Let's get to Ash. Ash, please, bring your earliest musical recollection.
Early? Well, I mean, I grew up on classical music mostly, you know, through my dad.
So your earliest memory is hearing classical music your pop's playing?
Yeah, for sure. For years, just as a little kid, he would play classical records.
I'm curious, where?
Where at?
Yeah.
Well, in Glendale, California.
Okay, well, I can't remind yet. When I get to that point, we won't have to use words, but you're going to have to, like, enlighten me using words. Glendale. So Valley. So you're not far from where you are now.
Yeah, I've bounced around L.A. here and there, and I lived in Florida for a while, but mostly I've been here in the Valley. This
can
is
I
my
ask
house
you one
here.
Thing? You know, Nels Klein spent a little time in Glendale, and he said the police there really, they don't have a lot to do, so they hassle you.
Yeah, true? Glendale has its own police force, you know, separate from the LAPD.
Yeah, of course, it's incorporated, yeah.
And they're pretty notorious for being heavy-handed, and yeah, I can bear witness to that.
Now, let's get off that because that's a bad subject. But back to music, was there instruments, or was your pop just a listener?
My pop was just a listener. It's funny, we had a piano, but it was like a. You know, it was a piece of furniture.
So you never jumped on it. How'd you get on the guitar?
In guitar, I got a guitar in sixth grade and probably got 6 months worth of lessons.
Did you ask for it or was it foisted?
I asked for it for sure. I had taken some piano.
Yeah.
I was into music, but piano didn't turn me on. I asked for a guitar. They got me a guitar. Parents were cool like that.
Yeah, yeah. What was the first record you bought yourself?
First record? I'm pretty sure it was Kiss Love Gun. It was the first record I bought for myself.
And first gig that you saw? Live music?
First gig I saw, you know, it's funny. Technically, it would be this band called Catherine's Horse. who was a like a local Glendale punk rock band.
Yeah. But what about at school? Were you in the choir? Were you in the marching band? Shit like that?
Nah, nothing like that.
I'm always curious because, you know, some schools that got rid of their music programs and stuff.
Yeah, looking back, I mean, there was a pretty cool music program both in my junior high and high school, but I wasn't part of it.
Yeah, yeah. So what about, like I asked a drummy about having the basement band, the garage band?
Well, I had a high school band with Jonathan here.
Okay, okay. How'd that happen? Because he was in Memphis.
He was in Memphis until he was like 17 or something.
11th and 12th grade I did out here.
He showed up at the end of high school
He's going to school out here. He's a classmate or something?
Yeah, yeah. We went to school together just for like a year and a half together here in Glendale.
Yeah.
He did the tail end of his high school out here after coming out from Memphis.
Okay.
And we've been writing songs ever since then.
Whose idea? Because he was already doing bass, right? He was doing it in school back in Memphis.
No, well, I mean, kinda. I mean, back in those days, Jonathan was more of a singer. He was playing some instruments, but. He was in a cool band in Memphis called Distemper, where he was a singer. And, here in Glendale, he was the singer in our band Milltown as well. And drifted harder and harder into bass over the years.
Milltown, you're saying, that was your first band?
That was my first band. Yeah. It was probably Jonathan's second band.
Right, he was in Distemper in Memphis. But How did Milltown get going?
Well, I didn't even start it. Jonathan did.
Okay.
It was some, some cats at school that I knew. And I kind of came in as the second guitar player. I knew most of the guys in the band and... It was already rolling before I jumped in.
That's always a little easier.
Yeah, they had a bunch of songs already, and it was already a thing when I jumped in. So they already knew how to do it.
Whoa, Milltown, trippy name. And when I think of the valley, I don't think of Milltown, but you know, actually, your neighborhood, I do think of Milltown because it's kind of like quarry. Kind of quarry territory, a little dusty, like I don't know. You know, when you think of L.A. or what, the Southern California suburb, it's still pretty nature out there. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, October 10, 2020, Dish Watt Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. Are you a cop? October 10, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Bing, bing, bye, bye.
A dentist, but
Baby, you smell like cheap perfume. It's like you tore it off with a bucket. You walking down the streets of Boston, but they can smell you on the way to Nantucket. The dogs along your way are getting dizzy. Baby, you're confusing the bees. I wish you'd stop using that cheap perfume. Honey, you're making me sneeze. That cheap perfume. But call. So you headed over to Kansas City, corner of 12th Street and Vine. But the wind was blowing from the east, so they could smell you all the way to the Oklahoma line. That cheap perfume, honey, that cheap perfume. Hope you're gonna stop.
He'll tell you something that you ought to know. He'll tell you how to think and where to go. Who knows just where? He knows it's there. He'll teach you just how to be cool. He knows stuff you didn't learn in school. And he'll tell you'll say, wow, Mr. Ned.
they come strong from the inside, rubbing on the underside, pulling at your bedside, running in your ear to hide. Rolling from the north down, loving up from on the ground, all of us from all around, on the rail from downtown, stepping on the brimstone, sticking in the red zone, never ever all alone, calling on the battle phone.
Why? their current leader. Embodies Party. In 45 they find all their values meet. Party of the Scandal. They find ways to cheat. In bed with big business. And with the elite. NRA support. Put guns in the street. Embrace the lost cause. Not rebel defeat. Rewrite the Lord's word. The rapture they seek. Destroying the earth is their final feat.
people, we start the second hour off with Bing Bong, Are You a Cop? Then Sam Bennett with Cheap Perfume, Samuel Locke Ward, Mr. Never Wrong, Moment of the Cosmonaut from Moose Heart Faith Stellar Groove Band. That's a fucking name. Soldier Dolls out of Wales with Gotham City is Dead. Wow. Maybe they read comics. How do you write that out of Wales? Lunatics on Patrol with The Elephant in the Room. We Are the Asteroid out of Austin with Duology. The Hawk from Iowa City with The Test. And finally, Status Calculator. Are You a Cop? So, two of you guys asked, Jonathan, you're in Milltown. This is kind of the beginning of Are You a Cop, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because the whole thing is really Ash and I have always been together playing music, and then when I got a job working with Greg at SST, I met Drummer, and then that's how we all kind of started jamming together, and that's how it all kind of evolved, because Ash and I didn't really have a drummer, so on the first Are You a Cop record, him and I took turns playing drums on it. Then we finally get a legitimate drummer, and it just, well, boy, does that open up a whole new canvas of fun.
Well, can I ask you what happened with Milltown?
Well, out of high school, you know, I'm a kid actor, and I got a couple of acting gigs, and then I moved up to Portland to do a movie, and then when I came back, everybody's kind of spread out, and then we lost access to our studio, which was a renovated garage from Alex's parents' place. So losing the place to rehearse, me trying to be as productive as I can, and everybody doing their college and shit after school, kind of just loosely dropped everything away, and it lightly disbanded.
Okay, but you and Ash kept the connect.
Oh, yeah, and are still writing songs, and each other are still jamming, and then, here, listen to this demo, that's good, you know.
Oh, so that's what happened. Are You the Cop? You're trading demos, like you're making songs on your own, and then showing them to each other, and, hey, let's make a new proj. And you were saying you both took turns drumming. So this wasn't really for gigs. This was more for like a recording proj.
Well, actually, it was more just to be able to make songs in our minds. I don't even know if we were thinking about shows or recording. It was more of like, let's make songs that we're proud of, that we want to let our friends hear. To be that overambitious, it wasn't even really understood at first, you know, because we didn't really know what we were doing. We just wanted to make songs, and we just kind of grew from that.
Now, when you were doing that, what came first, the drums, and then you put on the bass and guitar?
No, it's more like, here, I got this song. Do you think this sucks? This is like in this weird C thing, and Ash is real fast to pick up any song, and then he'll pitch songs to me, and then he's real patient and teaches me how to play it on bass, so I'm not a fucking fucktard with it. And then, you know, we kind of grow from there with it. And we just pitch songs at one another, and then when they're good enough, you go record them.
Yeah, but I'm asking about the recording. So you put the drums on last, or did you first? Because a lot of bands, like, for example, Stevie Wonder or Dave Grohl, when they did the One Man Records Prince, they always started with the drums. So I'm wondering, if you didn't have a permanent drummer, where was the drumming in the recording?
Yeah, it's the same thing. We lay down that canvas. We do the drums first. You're practicing. It's like, okay, you're playing the hi-hat better. Do the drums on this one. And we're doing it the same way. Just do drums first, then bass, then guitars, then vocals.
Okay, I'm curious. So how did you find drumming?
Through Greg Ginn at SST. Drummer's banging on the front door at SST with no shirt on.
Now, which one
is this? On his shoulder.
Which one is this? Is this the Long Beach one?
Yeah, exactly. Over on, was it 7th and Linden?
No, it was 4th and Linden.
4th and Linden,
There was another Long Beach one before that on Alameda's.
Yeah, that's when the label was there, but Casa Destroy was up in North Long Beach for quite a while, 92.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, I know about the ones that were in Lawndale, you know, where the P.O. Box is.
P.O. Box 1. Yeah,
downtown Cabrillo and old downtown Torrance. That's where we used to practice. Minutemen would practice with Black Flag. So they had different locations. That's why I'm asking. I think the Fingerprints people have got the SST sign because it's really near where it was on 4th Street. So what was it for? So you met because you were working at SST?
Yeah. while I was in college, my day job was working in promotions in Long Beach with Greg at SST. And then I'd also be boxing up and doing shipping and just any little thing that we could do.
Sure. And what was Drummy? Was he jamming with Greg?
You were doing Gone then, right?
Oh, yeah. I was doing a lot of recording with Greg.
So you took over after Sin Cain?
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I first met Greg in 92. I played with him from 92 to 95. We did a lot of recordings. You know, and he'd give me, some songs would just be bass tracks, some would be guitar. Then we got into some stuff that had programmed drums on it, and I'd add stuff to it, did some programming. And so it was a very mixed time period. And then I came back to him like 2001, 2003 area. That's when I met Jonathan, and I did. So a lot of those recordings I don't even think have been released. We did one that did get released then, a different Gone record. And we were doing some live shows. We had a bass player, me and Greg, and a bass player. We were just playing under, I think, Greg's name, but we were actually playing on some Black Flag songs and all over the LA regional area. You know, we do Bakersfield. We did regional California stuff for a while. And then we ended up just going to recorded bass, and it took a while to get that down where we didn't even have a bass player, but we had a bass rig on stage. And it was funny to see people get drunk and try to figure out which one was the guitar player and which one's the bass player, you know.
But my war record has Dale Nixon, right? But it's actually Greg playing the bass. I want to play Revlon Slew.
In the pitch between the double gates, bearing down on a big one. Get time on a balcony, the language is filthy. The genders were all wrong, but as it bore down, we did all right. We found another spot, we stole the checkered box, it was so short. Upstairs.
wake up in the morning, and here comes the world. Rub my eyes a little, and here comes the world. I put my feet on the floor, and here comes the world. And then I go outside. And then I go outside. Well, everywhere we are, everything we bring, the world.
under the dog and the stars.
We'll be right back. is the time. Now is the time.
Yeah.
Not for Pedro Show. That was Revlon Sluice. I'm trying to say the songs here, Jonathan. Revlon Sluice from Are You a Cop? Man in Motion from Punk is a Doornail. Dolom with Here Comes the World. Now, Running Out of Problems. Home and Garden. That's Scott and Tony from Perubu. Birthday Live. I think Scott's son's singing. And Bullets Are Balloons out of Spokanistan with Eve 7. And We Were Trees. Are You a Cop? Where did you guys record this record?
At Ash's place. In Sun Valley.
How long did it take?
Well, that took a while because we cut demos first and then we did everything separately. So I'd say that probably took about 7 months to do because of our day jobs and just trying to crank it out.
But it was all homebrew, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's bitching. It's not all the bad new days because you can do stuff like that, which was kind of harder in the older days. Is it self-produced?
Oh, yes, yes. Also helped with our good pal Nick Hahn, spent a lot of time with us, so props to his greatness.
Yeah, I was going to ask, was somebody like working a desk while you guys did this, or somebody just...
Well, Ash works the desk, and then he tells me what buttons to push when he's on the other side of the glass, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were talking about demos. So, like, individual band members make demos, or do you do, as a band, make demos?
As a band, we made demos so we could kind of get the feel and really discuss, because, you know, we really wanted to make something beautiful and unique and thought out and not try to get lucky. We really wanted to go in with a mindset of this is what we want to do. Let's really do this. And so we thought demos, even though it would take a lot of extra time, was important. So we did them.
And what number record is this for Are You a Cop?
I believe this is the fifth Are You a Cop record. Four LPs and like one EP kind of thing. I think that's right.
But you did try to do something different with number five.
Oh, definitely. The other records, we tried to be all like Frank Black and you guys and record at the exact same time. The other records, we hit record and play at the exact same time and then do vocals over it, you know, and just rehearse. This time it's like, let's separate and do everything on our own and try to be perfect, Steely Dan, butthole tight, you know?
Yeah, you know, Charlie, he went live to two-track like Nat King Cole days, you know?
Oh, sweet. What,
the Catholics, right? Right.
Yes.
At the end of the second hour, October 10th, 2020, special guests Are You a Cop? Hold tight for hour three. October 10th, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watch from Pedro show.
Looking down the subway line, cause this ain't none of my business. I don't care about what's not mine, I'm trying hard not to listen. They don't mind that camera eye, the guy who's probably sleeping. But me and Alex got caught one time, and all we were doing was smoking. Southbound, still on time, but you ain't looking right.
yarn of living dreams, magic only children dream. Carol grows and carols die, and carols angels every time. And I'm just this crazy boy.
It's a grass in the field, there's a bend for your nose, it's a cliff, it's a
Well, for Pedro Show, we start off the third hour with Wilshire Lights. And fuck all that rap we had to go with that tune because we weren't going to get to it. Crane was... Resolution. Residence. She had her, I don't fuck up when it's time to take pictures. I fuck up all the time. She and housework with the, her special art shit from Pussycat and Dirty Johnson's and Eyelash Out. Are you a cop? I am going to revisit this one. This is punk rock without the K. It's pun rock. Okay. Eyelash. Get it? Okay. Listeners out there, I'm really curious about the first Are You a Cop gig, and I forgot to ask, so take it, guys.
Well, the first Are You a Cop gig is we invite all of our friends, because Ash has the studio here, so we throw a party. So invite all of our friends to showcase our songs and, you know, to have fun, and that's who we do it for.
So you're telling me Are You a Cop got it all together before you ever did a gig?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, because what had happened is, you know, Ash and I went to high school together, and now we're all old and oldie, and we got into a fight for a while, didn't talk to each other for a bit, and then missed each other so much, and then I'm like, gosh, I miss being in a band with you so bad. Let's be in a band together, and let's do this. And, you know, we just picked it up right there, and then there was a show at the house, and then after that, you know, we started playing a lot, and then
Hold on. Who picked the name?
I did.
It kind of started out as the, it was a song first. It was a song Jonathan had written, and then he proposed it, you know, as the name of the band.
Okay. And this first gig, you're called Are You a Cop?
Yes.
But why no question mark?
Well, because I didn't want it to be a question at first. I thought it was more like just a statement that went without say. And then that night at Sunspace, when you were like, there's no question mark. And then you started talking about that. And then the three of us sat down and were like, you know, Watt's kind of right. It is really a question more than a statement. And there's really where the big epiphany came of, let's put a question mark on it. And boy, this is going to really change everything.
Yeah, the heavy word is R. That's such an interrogative, you know. You know,
yes.
There are ambiguous things in English. And this is where we... kind of do that Asian thing where you have tone in your voice. Like,
yes.
You're going to the store. You're going to the store? Exact same wording. It's the way you lift up on the end there, right, to show that there's a question mark. I tried doing the same thing with Are You a Cop? And it just don't work. It's like always got to be like an interrogative. So... anyway, that's okay. Band names, song titles, you can't copyright them, you know. You can brand a band name.
That's right. That's true.
Right. Red Cross but, had to put some
tape. You just want to hear people say it and feel it.
Yeah. And then was that first gig, was Drummy in the band?
No, Nick Hahn, ironically enough, who is still engineering with us, was the first drummer. And that's why we have one record called Before Drummer, where Nick Hahn actually plays the drums.
And how long he last?
Oh, well, he lasted forever. But then when we met Drummer, he was like, that's Gregory Moore from Gone, you fuckface. You beg and plead and you get him in this band now. You bench me now. Now!
You know the Keith Moon story with The Who, right? He took the guy... Yeah, he played his skit and, like, destroyed it and shit.
Yes.
Here, I want to play Seatbelt. Francis, we paid a place to who doesn't like the way it looks. Tell me what's affected this. This is the picture made once. Here, and go back and show us how around we are. What you're drinking, the space bar. What you sell your clothes for star. And did you pee into a jar? And was it looking out the window past you? Do you feel that it is something that you have to do? To leave the earth for you. What did she ever? I'm more scared of you.
but I'd rather get you, cause I need a ride. Let's wait until the traffic. I still want to be here. Let's go back and stay. I'm about to start it soon. It's just a minute for you, know it. Dropping it on up with you is something I would never do. Just want to stay here, so please just put your seatbelt on. Do you feel that it is something that you have to do? Do to you.
Thank you. Thank you. like another shot of tequila. All kinds of lies.
Oh, Live from Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Seatbelt. Are you a cop? I remember when, most cars didn't have seatbelts. You had to pay extra for them. Petrol Terriers from England. I think Newcastle. What do they call them? Geordies, yeah. A song called Exeter, though, which is way south. Lewis Cole after that, Your Moon. Thum with Shaitan. That's not Satan. That's Shaitan. S-H-A-Y-T-A-N. Don't get too happy. Then Galextasy out of Joshua Tree. It's for Kelvin Barat. Jared doing Heaven Channel Season 2 LP 7 Part 1. These people, since March, during the quarantino mode, 18 records. So I'm gonna hear anybody fucking complaining there's nothing to do. Get off your hands and record, people. Finally, are you a cop doing what kind of car does Gibby Haynes drive? Yeah. I couldn't tell you that, but I will say the first Hollywood gig that Butthole Surfers did was with the Minutemen and Big Boys at the Grandia Room on Melrose.
Oh. Oh,
and I remember,
that's so magical.
I remember Gibby coming on stage. Now, in these days, he played a lot of sax, and Paul sang like half the songs. They had another, they didn't have Teresa and King yet. A guy they called Eskimo on the bass, I think. A drummer man. I can't remember. But anyway, I remember Gib with a big-ass giant jar of Vaseline. We're going to have fun tonight. So there's pictures, actually. Not of that, but at the gig. Hank Rollins, like, giving Ronnie James Dio fingers to D-Boo. This place turned into a new wave pad called the Martini Lounge. Terrible. But it was a Mexican chow pad before that. It was very happening. We down the street from Helen at the Anti Club. So where can people find you on the internet?
Just, you know, everywhere. Spotify, no, wherever you want to go dig around. I mean,
no,
we're really not that
cop?
Big
there,
and juicy to know what's really to plug. So I'd say just, you know,
no,
go
is
dig.
There,
you
what I'm asking
dig.
You, is there, are you a cop website?
No.
Nah, that's not really what we're into. I'm just trying to make music and be entertaining. And even though, you know, I mean, fans...
Okay, then hear me out here. Having your own...
It's really more about trying to let the music do itself.
I'm not asking you that, though. Hear me out.
Yeah.
Like having your own fanzine. Because you do post shit up at that corporate shit like Fake Look and Instant Ham and Shitter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do shit like that, don't get all precious about not being on the internet. Because you do go through their platform, crap form. So my suggest is get your own website, then you won't have any middleman. You can get them for free at WordPress, okay?
Oh, that's definitely good advice.
Remember in the old days,
yeah.
They had this shit called, they were terrible. Remember those old sites? And they'd have all this advertising you'd have to deal with, right? I just want people to be able to find you. You mentioned somebody, Spotify?
Yeah, and of course, you know, there is an Are You a Cop Instagram, even though we don't really spend too much time on it.
What about Bandcamp? I hear that's the good web place for bands.
Well, you know, it's like everything's a good place this Thursday. The next Tuesday comes around, and my feeling is I just want to make music and be entertaining. And then when I love somebody, like when I love Ween, I'll go find that band. You know, when I find this band, like, I'm going to go find them. When you find what you love, you go dig and find it. So we're going to be there, and we want to be there for them. But at the same time, I'm not following all this fucking stupid, here's what's cool today shit. I'm in a band to make music and be entertaining, not be whatever the fucking internet wants. We're music, not electricity.
Oh, so you want to get rid of phones and automobiles and bass guitars and... I'm feeling a healthy dose of jive here. Like, for example, this fucking radio show's on the internet. You want to get rid of that, too?
No. I mean, I don't want there to be cans and little strings at every house. You know, there's certain things, but I just want to be entertaining without trying to be slutty. And I am a slut to make you want to love me, so it's a weird contradiction, you know?
Okay. I didn't mean to open a can of worms. I just want people to find you on the internet somehow. But I guess they got to search. What's next for the band?
Well, we have this new record coming out. There's 18 songs, but because of Corona, we have to wait. We're getting it pressed at the Memphis Pressing there in the fine state of Tennessee. But we have to get in line and just wait. The presses have stopped. And we are going to play live as soon as we're allowed to. And in the meantime, we're going to put up some stuff and try to do little fun things to try to get people to be entertained. But while we're here waiting, we just keep writing songs and do what we can.
Okay. What about you, Ash, and Drummy? Any last words?
No, I'm good.
Ash?
I need to go back to sleep, honestly.
Okay. I wish you all the luck in the world for the record number 6.
Well, thank you so much. It's an
thank
honor
you,
to be here.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
October 10th, 2020, this is Wap Peter, so keep your powder dry.